Welcome to the MRBC podcast. Let's join Pastor Tim Yazel for today's message.
Today, tragedy struck the Boston Marathon. It appeared that terrorists had set off bombs and critically injured many near the finish line. That particular day, among those that were running the race were doctors and nurses, police officers, firefighters, and other first responders. But on this day, that's not who they were. On this day, they were marathon runners. However, after the blasts, and after word of the bombings began to circulate, many of these same runners forgot about the race, and they became first responders to the Boston tragedy. These men and women who had been trained, who had been given skills to help those that were in need, those that had been tragically injured. They went through the crowd of bystanders and they offered help and hope to many of the injured victims. They took their skills to the streets, so to speak. Now, these first responders did not find an empty office building near the finish line and open an office and hang out a sign and then wait for people to come in. They went to the hurting people. They went looking for hurting people, to those that were dying, to those that needed hope. And when they found them, they helped. I would like to say that these first responders, those that were running in the race and other first responders that came in, were missional. They were missional. They were on a mission. They had a purpose. They were intentional about finding the injured and helping. They looked for them. They searched for those that were in need, and they took help and healing to them. Now, by way of application, as believers, we must do the same. We are not to keep the message of the gospel safely inside this castle. We are to take God's news outside of these four walls. We are to take the good news to the streets, just like the early church in the book of Acts did. When we look at the book of Acts, chapter 8, and the first three verses, we see that the apostle Paul, who was Saul at the time, this was before he had come to faith in Christ, Saul was launching a persecution against the church. In fact, if you want to look at it this way, Saul was being very missional. He was searching out anybody that claimed to be a follower of Christ, and he was persecuting them or throwing them into prison. He was being missional. And when he launched this persecution, the believers in Jerusalem began to scatter. They had to leave Jerusalem or suffer the consequences, being tortured or persecuted or imprisoned. Acts chapter 8 tells us that every one of the believers, except for the apostles, scattered. Now, you get what that's saying? Think of the apostles. You know, in a sense, this is not a good way to look at it, but in a sense, the apostles were the professional preachers, okay? They were the ones that God had called to preach, and they did it all the time. They didn't scatter. Every other believer scattered. All of the believers except the apostles scattered. And I want you to notice what those believers that scattered did. Verse 4 is where we're going to pick up the story. Acts chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered, now remember, that's every believer except the apostles. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. This is one of my favorite passages in all of the Bible. Again, because of the persecution launched by Saul, the believers scattered. And wherever they went, wherever these believers went, they preached. They preached Christ. That is the nature of community. The church is a community, a family. We are to gather in community. We are to come in here to be trained, to be edified, to be built up, to be equipped to do God's kingdom work. We gather in community and we build each other up and we spur one another on to love and good deeds. That's the message of Hebrews 10:24. We gather here to be equipped by other mature believers. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. God gave these gifted people to the church. It says he gave pastors and teachers to the church for the purpose of perfecting, of equipping, of training the saints. That's God's people. That's you folks. Training why? For the work of the ministry. God has placed pastors and teachers in this body to train us up in order that we, that's all of us, might do the work of the ministry. And in the process, the body of Christ is edified. So we gather to grow, and then we scatter to evangelize. That's God's plan for the church. We come in here to get trained, to get a handle on what the gospel really is, to learn how to share God's good news of the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We gather here to be trained, and then we scatter outside these four walls to evangelize. We get out there. We take the word to the lost. Just like the first responders, they didn't set up an office and hang out a sign and say, "Here we are, come on in." They went to where the people were hurting. Likewise, it's not enough for us to build a building and put a sign out front and say, "Here we are, the gospel's inside, come on in." Now, praise the Lord, that happens. That's how I found Christ. But we are to be missional. We are to get out into our mission field, to get out into our Jerusalem, to get out where there are people that are hurt and without hope, and we are to take the good news to them. We're not just to be attractional, we are to be missional. Now, in our text today, we see a man by the name of Philip. Philip, a very interesting story here, a story that I love. It's a head-scratcher for me, but I love it. I think I love the head-scratcher stories in Scripture. And in our text, Philip had been ministering in Samaria. And while he was there, he had been greatly used by God. I mean, Philip would preach, and demons were cast out, and Paralytics and cripples were healed. Jesus Christ was proclaimed. The Bible tells us that when Philip preached, everyone listened. For those of you that are old enough to remember, Philip was the E.F. Hutton of the kingdom. You know the old E.F. Hutton commercials, when E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens? When Philip spoke, everyone listened. I don't think I've ever preached a message where everyone in the crowd listened. I may be wrong. I don't know the work that God does. But when Philip preached, everyone listened, and Samaria received the word of God. Now that's the kind of ministry that every servant of God dreams about. Every preacher dreams about going to a city and preaching the good news of the gospel. And everybody that gathers to hear what's going on listens to the message, and every time he preaches, lives are transformed. I mean, that is the dream of every pastor. Philip was in the big leagues of ministry here in Samaria. I mean, for a preacher, it doesn't get any better than this. I mean, this is the stuff that dreams are made of. Philip could die a fulfilled man. He had that once-in-a-lifetime ministry. He could die right now and just be content. Or could he? Because God had other plans. God had something else for him. Let's drop on down to verse 26, if you would. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Now, just when things were going well for Philip, just when Philip had finally achieved the ministry of all ministries through the leading and the power of God, just when things could not possibly get any better for Philip, as far as kingdom work is concerned, God says, Philip, I want you to leave Samaria and go to the desert. What? I mean, I don't know about you folks, but I'm not quite sure what God's thinking here. Things were happening in Samaria. Every time he preached, things happened. Lives were changed. He'd share the gospel, and people would respond in great numbers. I mean, you don't put a stop to that kind of thing, do you? You've heard of the old time revivals where somebody went to a city to preach on a Sunday and things happened, lives were changed, and they said, come back tonight, we'll do it again, and we'll do it again tomorrow night, and before you know it, he's there 3 weeks or 3 months, and lives are changed. God was at work in Samaria using Philip. I mean, Henry Blackaby in his book Experiencing God said that what we need to do as Christians is find out where God's working and then go there and join him. That makes sense. Find where God's at work and then be right there. Become a part of it. Well, God was at work in Samaria. Philip was there, having that kind of ministry that every preacher dreams of. He was investing in people. He was investing in crowds of people. God was using him. The city was impacted. The city received the word of God and it was changed. Why leave all of that and go to the desert? I mean, think about it. I tried to pick the most desolate picture that I could pick. I don't know whether that looks anything like where Philip went or not, but it looks desolate to me. But I can assure you that just like that picture, where Philip was heading, there were no crowds. No crowds. No spectacular outpouring of God's power in masses of people. No. Why leave the crowds? Why leave the successful ministry in Samaria to go talk to one guy? And this guy was a foreigner as well. But God called Philip. The same God that was giving Philip this awesome ministry in Samaria was the same God that called him and said, I want you to go to the desert and I want you to talk to this one guy. And what did Philip do? Well, if you notice your text, verse 27 says, and he arose and went. We have no record of any hesitation, no record of any complaining. Philip's enjoying the ride. And God says, now I want you to leave and go talk to one guy in the desert. And near as we can tell, Philip said, okay. And he left. He obeyed. Philip gave up what was good for what God considered to be best. Did you get that? Philip gave up what he thought was good for what God considered to be the best. And at this point in time, what God considered to be the best was for Philip to invest in one guy. One particular guy, this eunuch from Ethiopia. He was a black man, a man from the continent of Africa, a man that likely he'd never see again. You know, he wasn't going to get him to join church. This man was not going to become a deacon in the church at Samaria or Jerusalem or anywhere else in that area. So Philip went and he invested in one man. When Philip got there, he saw the man in a chariot. And as Philip came near the chariot, he heard the man reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip came up to the man and said, do you understand what you're reading? Now, folks, in evangelism training, we often call this the hook. Sometimes we call it the transitional question. Transitional questions are good. Transitional questions can be used to take the conversation from, wow, what do you think of this cold weather, to what do you think of Jesus Christ? By asking a transitional question, he says, do you understand what you're reading? The man said, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so Philip did. He explained to the man what he was reading from the book of Isaiah. If you would, join me at verse 32. Drop on down to verse 32. The place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch was reading Isaiah 53, verses 7 through 8, a section of scripture that, in a very real sense, describes the passion of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us on the cross. And as the eunuch is reading from this passage, the Ethiopian man asked Philip, "Who was Isaiah referring to? Was he referring to himself or to another?" It's like, wow, what an open door Philip has here. Who's he talking about, Philip? Tell me. I want to know, who is Isaiah talking about? And Philip started in Isaiah, and he preached Jesus to this Ethiopian man. Philip cared enough about the lost that he obeyed God and left Samaria. He cared enough about the lost to go to the desert. Philip was being missional. He was on mission here. Because Philip was obedient to the Lord, because Philip left the excitement and maybe even a little bit of fame preaching there in Samaria, because he was obedient to the Lord, a man from Ethiopia came to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this wasn't just any man. He was called a eunuch. And we see here that this man was a government official from Ethiopia. He was a man of influence. And we see here a man of influence coming to faith in Jesus Christ and then returning home as a transformed child of God. Here was a man that had the potential to reach his people. These African pastors, every one of them that I've talked to, all credit the Ethiopian eunuch for bringing the gospel to the continent of Africa. This one man, they credit him for being the one that brought the gospel for the very first time to the continent of Africa. This one man who really doesn't seem like he would matter in the grand scheme of things compared to the multitudes in Samaria. He could reach the multitudes and train them and send them out all over the world. But God sent Philip to this one man, this African man, that was already hungry and searching. And Philip pointed him to Jesus Christ. And it's quite possible that this man, life transformed by the power of the gospel, took that gospel to the continent of Africa. And if you're familiar with early church history, in the early years, maybe second century of the church's history, many leaders and teachers came from the continent of Africa. Missionaries were sent out from the continent of Africa. Maybe because Philip obeyed and invested in this African man who came to faith in Christ and took the gospel back to his people. In the book entitled Radical Together, David Platt tells about the most unevangelized island on the face of the earth. He says that there are 45 million people that live on this island. Most of them are Muslim. However, this largely unevangelized island is also home to millions of Christ followers. One tribe in particular is almost entirely filled with believers. But sadly, over the years, this tribe has lost its focus on reaching others. They stop sharing the gospel, rather keeping the good news all to themselves. Researchers studied this tribe of people, and they discovered that one issue at the heart of the problem was the issue of pork. Pork, like bacon and ham and that type of thing. Pork. See, the Muslims on the island do not eat pork. The Muslims on this island find pork to be quite offensive. The Christians, on the other hand, really liked their pork. And as the result, it offended the Muslims around them. They lost the opportunity to have conversation with the Muslims because the Christians would not give up their pork for the sake of winning the lost. Most of the Christians were unwilling to do that. One of the believers on the island told a friend of David Platt this. He said, "I would rather a Muslim die and go to hell than for me to have to stop eating pork." Can you imagine? Souls that Christ died for. And Christians saying, "I want my pork. I'd rather they die and go to hell than for me to have to give up my pork." And you know what? The church in America is a lot like that. The church in America seems to be focused so inward. What I want, what I like, what's in it for me. We're focused so inward while countless thousands are dying all around us without Christ. And I wonder, what if we were willing to deny ourselves? What if we were willing to take some risks? What if we were willing to make ourselves vulnerable to ridicule and rejection in order to get the gospel out? What might be different? What might change? You say, "Well, Pastor Tim, how in the world can we do this? How do we apply this?" Well, I have three ideas, not specific. You can work on the details, the specific details yourself. But first of all, like those first responders in Boston, be on the lookout for hurting people, for opportunities to come alongside and help. Secondly, be aware of teachable moments. Think of a hook that you might use to take them from the physical realm to spiritual things. In Acts 8, Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" In John 4, Jesus asked the woman at the well, told the woman at the well, "Go call your husband." And when he told her that, that opened a spiritual conversation that led to her faith in Christ. For us, it might be asking somebody simply, "You know, looks like you've made a real success out of your life. On a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you with your life?" They might say, "Oh, a 7. You ask, "Well, what makes it a 7? "Well, I'm doing pretty good, but still doesn't seem like there's enough money to pay the bills," or whatever. And then we ask the hook or the transitional question. What would happen to that number if God was a part of your life? Many, many transitional questions we can ask. And then third, be intentional. Be intentional about connecting with the lost. How many of you like to fish? Like, oh yeah, lots of you, wow. Well, you know when you fish, you got to go where the fish are, right? I can't fish in my backyard. You got to go where the fish are. God has called us to be fishers of men, and to be fishers of men, women, children, we've got to go where the fish are. We've got to take the message to them.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit us on the web at www.monclovabaptist.org.